Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist who has extensive counseling experience. Providing counseling from a Christian perspective, he specializes in helping people overcome these problems and build their self-esteem, reduce guilt, and improve marital relationships. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens, located in Port St. Lucie, is available at 772-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart.
Today we're going to tap into the law of increase, how we go from where we are to the next place we want to be. Hello? Come on, you first experience the land of not enough. I think everybody's experienced that to some degree. Unless you were just born into abundance, you've experienced the land of Egypt, not enough. And many are currently experiencing the land of just enough. Just enough. Huh? You got to learn how to rejoice with just enough. You got to learn every day. I mean, every day you got to learn how to give God thanks for just enough. You just got by, just got the bill paid in time. Nothing left over, but thank you, Jesus. Come on. In order to get into a place of more than enough, you got to pass the test of just enough. The wilderness was a sign or an example of just enough. God said, I led you. In Deuteronomy 8, he said to the Israelites, I led you. Moses didn't get you lost out here. I led you these 40 years to prove you, to test you, to humble you, so that after it was all said and done, you would understand man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth doth man live. But the sad truth of the matter was that generation never learned that because they never fully trusted God with just enough. 40 years he wanted to prove them, test them. We understand when they came out of Egypt, there was 11 days journey. They could have been in their promised land. God said no, because there's still too much Egypt. Egypt is in the people. And you get people with Egypt in them in a promised land, it turns to Egypt. They mess up everything. So God said, I got to get them to trust me first so that when I bless them, they won't turn away from me. I mean, God doesn't want to bless you and then you walk off. Come on, this is a covenant. God wants to be sure that when he blesses you, you will be a blessing. You won't start acting arrogant and like you got it all or like you did something yourself. But that wilderness should have humbled you so that when you are blessed of God, you want to be a blessing. And your security is not in your blessing. It's in your provider. See, God's bringing you into a land that he cares for. Not a land that you have to take care of. You understand? Not a land like Egypt where you water, where you irrigate. No, he said, it's a land that the heavens send down the rain on. My eyes are on it continually. In other words, it'll be blessings that you don't expect. God will do things in his time and not your time. See, that's what the wilderness was about, to get them to trust him. Manna began to fall. Manna fell every day. But the catch was you could eat the manna the day that it fell. But you couldn't gather enough manna for tomorrow. In other words, you couldn't store stuff up for a rainy day. You store it up, it'd be worms in it. You couldn't eat it, you couldn't bake it, you couldn't do anything with it. So every day they had to trust the Lord for their provision. Before God blesses you with abundance, you have to go through a season of that. You have to know how to trust Him so that your trust is not in your provision, but in your provider. They lusted in the wilderness. They got tired of God's provision. Do you know they called the manna angel food? Angel food. Do you know the word says because of that food, their clothes didn't wax old. Their foot didn't swell. That had to do with scurvy and different type of diseases. Diseases couldn't come on them because of what they were eating. God gave them a cloud to cover them by day and a fire, a pillar of fire by night in the desert to keep them all warm. And yet they did not learn to trust God. The wilderness was all about building a trust so that when He did bless them with more than enough, they would not forget nor forsake Him. Amen? All right, that's a lesson we must learn. All right, Abraham dialogued and interceded. He dialogued with God and interceded for Sodom, for Lot. He stopped at 10. God stopped at 10. My question to you this morning, where have you stopped? There's a spirit we call the spirit of hindrance. It's a spirit, we just call it that. I don't know what his name is, but we just call it because he hinders stuff. How many things have you started that you didn't finish? What have you begun for the Lord that you haven't finished, that should be finished? Everything's not finished. But guess what? Take a good look into your circumstance and check out, is this a spirit that's hindering me? Is this a spirit that's causing me to stop at 10 when I should go to 1? I know there's 1 there. Today we make a new demand upon our faith to go from where we are in the spirit to, for some of us, to where we ought to be. I say it this way in this service: if you're not sitting on the edge of your seat, you're taking up too much room. I was sharing with our leadership this morning in St. Mark, and we had taken some video of a lot of what we did, but the degree of praise and worship does not equate or so far surpasses the degree of poverty. You would think, why are you praising so? And your condition is like this. You would wonder. And then to have to leave from there to walk down muddy dirt gravel roads in the rain, probably to a little shanty that the rain is coming into too. Sleep on the floor. But yet, when a praise service goes up, now let me flip the coin here, because here, we pull up in our new cars or good cars. I ain't heard nobody coming down the highway. Good cars or, you know, and fine suits and clothes and had a big breakfast, or you plan to go to dinner somewhere after church. Hello. Got your big flat screen. But there's a tendency for us to carry an attitude like we are owed something. You watch people in some other foreign countries, Africa, Haiti, places like that. I really observe people, and I watch how in the early in the morning, older mothers are, you know, they're going out. Some of them are pushing wheelbarrows. You know, some of them are carrying long, they've been in the trees, cutting down trees and making wood, carrying that long wood on top of their head, balancing it. Little old mothers just walking, big pots, big buckets of water on top of their head, early in the morning, walking long distances just to get that home because it's a commodity that is of value to them. And I was asking this morning, how many of us throw little bottled water? We drink some sips out of them, then toss it away. See, sometimes our values are whack. Sometimes we are spoiled. See, God desires to bring something into our life to cause us to make a greater demand on our faith. Because, you know, sometimes we just want to put it on cruise and just kind of cruise along. Just don't shake the boat. Everything's good. But see, God doesn't want to do that. See, he wants to prove us in a wilderness so that when we get into the promised land, we don't settle down. We don't just settle on our lees. Hello? I mean, there's much work to do. There's much work for you to do. There's potential in your life that you haven't tapped as yet. But we're going to make a major effort to tap that potential. So we see Abraham, right? Abraham, he stopped at 10 and God stopped at 10. Let's take another look at another example in 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 14 says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face. And said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him. And said, you should have smitten five or six times. Let me add something. At least. He said, then you would have smitten the Syrians till you had consumed them. But now you shall smite the Syrians but three times. I want you to see something as we make a demand on our faith. That whole episode was an act of faith. The prophet was prophesying. He said, by faith, do this. Shoot the arrow, and now smite the arrows. They hadn't gone to war with Syria. It was an act of faith. You see, he was saying, here is where you make a demand on your faith. But the king only smote three times. And the prophet was angry because Elisha knew what it meant to live in God's abundance. He said, you should have smote at least five or six times. You should have broken the arrows. Then you would have destroyed them. Now, as we make a demand on our faith, sometimes you're looking at things through too small a vision. You're looking at things sometimes just to get by. Just to make it. Not really what it is you desire. Not really even what's in God's heart, but just enough for my table. God is saying, no, you need to smite them arrows. Come on. Today we're going to make a demand on our faith. Just because you've had some difficulties don't mean you back up off of the vision. Because you've had some opposition. Because somebody told you no. Because there's a blocking spirit in your path. That don't mean anything. That blocking spirit is going to have to move out the way. Come on, that door is going to open up. That way is going to be made. But it'll be made by you making a demand on your faith.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in part 32 of The Faith Crisis, The Law of Increase. While the people were in the wilderness, it was a sign of just enough. The manna fell every day, but it was only for a day. Matthew 4:4 declares, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The people had to trust God for provision. The wilderness was about building trust. There was too much Egypt in the lives of the people. They had to rely on God to provide food for them daily. Your security is in your provider.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.